Find out why abortion is the greatest hoax that has ever been perpetrated on women in America and throughout the world. Coming up next on Gospel of Life. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We have our co-host, Janet Morana, our Associate Director. And today our guest is Mark Crutcher, the President of Life Dynamics. Mark, good to be with you. And actually, we're in your domain here because you're kind enough to let us use your studios to tape these programs. We're very grateful.
We're happy to have you, and it's another opportunity for us to serve. So we're actually appreciative for you coming here.
Thank you.
We look at it as another opportunity to serve the pro-life movement.
Tell our viewers, if they're not already familiar, a little bit about Life Dynamics, the group that you head.
Right. I started Life Dynamics in 1992, and we do a lot of different pro-life activities. We do a lot of, as you know, undercover work inside the abortion industry, getting out their little dirty secrets and bringing them out to the public. We do a lot of research. We also do a lot of direct mail into the medical community, trying to discourage people from getting involved with abortion. And that's been one of our most successful projects over the years. Mm-hmm. We've done things like, as far as our undercover stuff, we were the people who identified or discovered and then exposed the marketing of baby parts, where the abortion industry chops up babies in these abortion clinics and sells them for parts after they've charged the mom to kill the baby. It's just another profit center for them. Most recently, of course, as you're aware, because you and your organization have participated in our child predator campaign, in which we've identified that Planned Parenthood and all the other abortion clinics in the country as well are operating a nationwide pedophile protection racket, where they are actually protecting the men who sexually assault or sexually abuse children. And that's a major issue in our country right now, because what we've uncovered is that among girls 15 years old and younger who get pregnant in this country, 60 to 80% were impregnated by adults. And it's kind of a hidden tragedy that's going on in our nation, and the people who are protecting these pedophiles are Planned Parenthood and the other abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm. Well, we, as you know, are also engaged, and much of the research that you've done deals with this point. We're engaged in an effort to make women aware of the harm that abortion brings to them and making society in general aware of this. And Janet has co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, which is dedicated to doing precisely this, especially by having women who've had abortions speak out publicly about it. Right. And why don't you give a brief update on that, and then we'd like to talk about the evidence that has been uncovered about how harmful abortion is.
Well, if you listen to the testimonies of the women who have participated in this campaign, and by the way, these are women who have gone through full circle, through healing from their abortion experience, and many of them had their abortions 10, 15, 20 years ago, there's some common threads of things that happened in their stories. Many of them became sterile after their abortion. In other words, they had their abortion, say, when they were in college, because, you know, the excuse, oh, I have to abort this child because I'll get kicked out of school, that kind of fear and pressure. Later on, when they did marry and want to have a family, they were unable to have children. And so the abortion did damage them in that way. A lot of them will talk about their experience in the clinic. And they'll say, well, you know, when I went to the clinic, I didn't get any kind of counseling, really. I was told, oh, just a blob of tissue, they'll say. And they said things like, you know, and basically the day they went to the clinic was the day they did the abortion, and there was never any follow-up care. They never heard from the abortion clinic again. They were expected to just follow up with your own regular doctor. So if there was a problem or a complication, the abortionist did not even deal with that problem. Many of them, too, because of the damage they felt done to them, you know, somehow you can't destroy that child without destroying part of you. They abused alcohol and drugs and had all kinds of problems in their lives. So the abortion did not solve their problem. And many of them talk about the conditions in the abortion clinic. One girl talked about the abortionist. First of all, she never met the doctor till she was laying on the table. He came in, and he almost as if he was annoyed when she asked a question. The nurse told her to be quiet. This will be over in a minute. I mean, a couple of them had indicated to me that at a certain point they were almost reconsidering it. But at that point, one nurse told one girl, oh, it's too late now, honey. Well, we just have to continue on. So When they say that abortion is here to serve women and it's a choice, many, many of these women, you listen to their stories, it was not a choice decision. It was not something good for them. And many of them ended up damaged permanently because of that abortion.
Well, this is why I say it's the greatest hoax that has ever been perpetrated because, as you know, this agenda has been pushed forward in this country under the rubric that, oh, well, this is good for women, and we have to make abortion legal so that it will be safe. And, of course,
that's a hoax in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that's interesting, I think all through the Clinton administration, and now you still hear this from a lot of pro-abortion people who want to try to appear reasonable to the American people. Mm-hmm. And they'll come out here and they'll say, you know, I'm not pro-abortion, I'm pro-choice, and I believe that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. My question is very simple. If abortion is such a great thing for women, why should it be rare? If this is something that advances women in this world, why should we try to keep it rare?
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're trying to have it both ways. They know that abortion is a reprehensible procedure and a reprehensible activity for people to be involved in. So they don't want to be tied to abortion. That's why they came up with the thing pro-choice. They don't want to be tied to abortion. That's why they rail when you say they're pro-abortion. So they try to have both ways. They say, I want to appear reasonable to the American people, so I'm going to say it should be safe, legal, and rare. But then in other venues, I'm going to talk about how it profits women. Well, if it profits women, I'm not sure why it should be rare.
Right.
That's
exactly
the thing that baffles me.
Exactly.
And the reality is, I've spoken out on this many times, and so have you, and I've had this position since day one. Abortion is something that serves the purposes of sexually irresponsible and sexually predatory males. And that's why the history of feminism in this country, if you read it, the early feminists were all pro-life, every single one of them, because they recognized that abortion is something that's done to women, by men, for men. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming majority of abortionists in this country are men. It is men who get off the hook when these women are willing to submit to an abortion. And they don't get injured, as I was mentioning to you a moment ago. We've been involved in hundreds of these abortion malpractice cases over the years. We've never had a man injured. It's always the woman who's injured or dead. Mm-hmm. And so this idea that it protects women is laughable. And I think women need to re-examine this issue from that perspective.
You know, Mark, you were just saying about the clinics, and I know from the things the women have told us, the conditions of the clinic, but what have you uncovered? You said over the years, you know, how you uncover things in the abortion industry,
right,
about the conditions in these clinics.
Well, first off, people are going to mistakenly think that what you said was, well, that's kind of anecdotal, one or two women, you know, maybe they had bad experiences. You could have a bad experience going to a legitimate OBGYN,
right,
and that's true. But the fact is, the things that you described are the normal day-to-day activities in these places. They are anything but the safe, legal. You know, when the abortion industry has these people come in from the media, mm-hmm, they know they're coming weeks in advance, and everybody is in their best behavior, and they're dressed up nice, and everybody's treated well. But on the day-to-day operation of these abortion mills, that's not the way it is. These people are these places are slaughterhouses, and they are conducted like slaughterhouses. The people in there are not the cream of the crop, and that's why women get injured and get killed in them.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I've even told you guys this or not, but just since the third quarter of last year, so we're talking about six in the last 6 months, we now have documented at least six women who've been killed in that length of time, just in the last few months. Mm-hmm. So this idea that it's safe for women is laughable.
Well, you know, the when people try to say, well, this percentage of women is harmed by abortion in this way, and this percentage of women die from it, you know, any of these percentages, if anybody claims to know, that's a lie, right? Nobody knows. That's the point. The more, as you're suggesting here, and has been proved by experience, the more you look, the more you find.
Right.
Right.
Well, when I wrote Line 5, the book that's basically an expose of the abortion industry, we started looking at the government statistics. The statistics that are put out for the medical community are put out by the Centers for Disease Control. A lot of people don't know that's a government agency, but it is. And they surveil the American medical community. What we found was I think, criminal in my view. I think people should be indicted for what goes on at the abortion surveillance branch of the CDC. It has always been run since day one by hardcore, rabid pro-aborts. Just to give you one example, there's a man named David Grimes, who has run the abortion surveillance branch on, at several different points, and he's probably the most identified at the CDC with the abortion issue. The last time he was running the abortion surveillance branch at the CDC, he was moonlighting as an abortionist at an Atlanta abortion clinic. Now, how do we expect that we're going to get legitimate data from an agency that is run by a man who is a practicing abortionist? And it's what we have found is we started doing some research. For example, we would see things like the CDC saying, well, in a given year, two women died nationwide from legal abortions, and we'd find 15 or 16 just ourselves with a small office here in Denton, Texas, with one researcher and a very tiny budget, compared to the CDC, where their budget is $250,000 an hour, and they have 6,000 employees. And they can find two women dead, and we here can find 16 in that same exact year. Mm-hmm. It's outrageous. And we know that we only scratch the surface, because every place that we had researchers who were willing to go to courthouses and look for the data, we found deaths that we didn't know about. But we didn't have people to go in the vast majority of the country. So had we had those resources, it's no telling how many women are dying.
Isn't it true also that a lot of states that are performing abortions don't even have to report their statistics to the CDC, right. I think, isn't it?
Well, no state has to.
Well, they're voluntary.
Right.
The statistics are voluntary.
Right.
And, again, we saw situations in where we'd get CDC data in and there'd be states left out. We'd try to contact those states,
right,
only to be told, and the type of conversation that we would have with these people would make it very clear that this is some rabid pro-abort. And they'd say, well, we're not under any federal mandate to report that information.
Right. And one of those states that's regularly left out is the state where the most abortions happen, California.
California,
right.
Well, actually, we were able to get a lot of research into California and found out that, I mean, the underreporting of morbidity and mortality on abortion is rampant. I mean, and there is no way for anyone to come out here and say that abortion is safe. It is not physically possible to say that.
Right. You know, the other question I had, too, is about the doctors. You know, before we were saying, well, if a person's dissatisfied with their OBGYN, but how many legitimate OBGYNs really work in abortion clinics? I mean, isn't it true, Mark, that you can be a doctor in any branch of medicine? I mean, even a podiatrist can perform abortions, right?
And right.
The kind of guys that are out there in abortion clinics are not what you would call your tier one good, reputable doctors.
No one goes to medical school with the idea that they will one day wind up working in an abortion mill. That's something that you descend into, that you're relegated to. And what we have found is, and even some of the, we found quotes from pro-abortion. You know, I wrote a book called Access, in which we've got these quotes, and even they are saying, you know, we're relegated to grade B doctors, that no frontline legitimate OBGYN who can get a practice going and not do abortions is going to go out and work in an abortion mill. So they get the washouts and the losers and the moral degenerates of medicine, mm-hmm, wind up working in these abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where the harm comes in. You know, the abortion industry is constantly saying, well, this is just a very simple procedure. It takes about 5 minutes to do. You know, it's an in-and-out thing. As if the length of time that it takes to do makes it safe. You know, I would argue that we could go over here to this convenience store that's right around the corner and rob the place and shoot and kill the attendant and do it in less time than an abortion takes.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that make it safe? Does that make it right? Does that make it something that we ought to be doing? Well, obviously not.
Right.
So the length of time has nothing to do with it. The issue here is that abortion is basically a very simple procedure, as is killing a human being in most ways a very simple procedure. The problem is that the procedure takes place in a part of the human body that has no room for error. A pregnant uterus has about the same consistency as a wet paper bag. Not only that, but the procedure is done blindly. The abortionist cannot see what he's doing. Once the instruments disappear into the woman that he's using, mm-hmm, he doesn't see them. So he operates by feel. So you have a blind procedure being done in a part of the human anatomy that is totally unforgiving of mistakes and bad practice. And these things are being done by the washouts and the losers of medicine. So obviously you're going to have problems.
Something along these lines that I always point out to people is that surgery and any medical intervention is supposed to help the body do something that it's supposed to be doing but isn't doing very well. So
right,
it needs a little help. And in this case, it's just the opposite.
Right.
If someone is pregnant, baby is growing inside of her, the body is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, and it is doing it very well, and abortion comes in and stops all that.
Exactly.
It's like driving a car down the road at 60 miles an hour and putting it in reverse.
Right.
And you can't do that without expecting some damage to occur.
Well, one of the, and you're touching on a point that I've often made. You'll hear people say, when we talk about the malpractice that's committed in the abortion clinics, they'll say, well, but you know, other doctors get sued for malpractice, and that doesn't mean that what they're doing is improper. Mm. But there's a big distinction here. If you have someone whose life is threatened, they're in a bad shape, or they've been in an automobile accident or something like that, and the doctor commits malpractice, he's doing it on somebody who he's trying to save their life. That person is not healthy at that point.
Right.
When you take a 17-year-old girl into an abortion clinic who's pregnant, that's probably the healthiest she's ever going to be in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will tell you that physicians will tell you that women are more healthy during their pregnancies than any other time. Nature works that out that way because they want to protect that child. So you're taking a perfectly healthy young woman and killing her for no reason. This is, understand something, the abortion industry admits that the vast majority of abortions in this country, and when I say vast majority, we're talking in the upper 90%, are done for non-medical reasons on perfectly healthy women and perfectly healthy babies.
Right.
The pregnancies do not threaten the health or life of the mother. The babies are not unhealthy, they're not deformed, not that that would justify abortion,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the circumstances. These abortions are done for non-medical reasons. So there is no medical indication for these abortions other than the woman wants a dead baby, or the woman's husband or the boyfriend or whoever wants a dead baby.
Yeah.
And yet they very often take that woman and injure her for the rest of her life and in very unfortunate cases kill her.
Tell us one or two of the most egregious examples of malpractice that were gathered together in this Lyme 5 research.
Well, I always think back on, and of course we have a video out on a young lady that you're familiar with, Christy Style, who was perfectly healthy on her 18th birthday, left in a permanent vegetative state as a result of her abortion. And I don't use this term lightly, but it's the term her mom uses. They said, they left my daughter as a vegetable for the rest of her life. And it's a tragic situation. And that one jumps out at me because I've been to her home and we did the video and I've actually seen her. But some of the things that are so outrageous about this, we had a case in California with a 17-year-old girl who was taken into an abortion clinic. She was the first patient in the morning. This abortionist had 18 or 20 other women in the waiting room that he was going to do abortions on. This was a perfectly healthy 17-year-old girl. He perforated her uterus. And in later testimony, it was learned that he knew at the time he had perforated her uterus. He had all the signs that he perforated the uterus. He should have stopped right then, everything that he was doing, and called an ambulance and got this young lady to an emergency center.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I knew that I had 18 or 20 other women out there that I had to get to. So he continued on with the abortion. He reaches into her uterus with a pair of what's called Beer's forceps to grab the head of the baby to pull it out. And instead, he went through the hole that he had made in her uterus and grabbed her lower intestine and pulled it out. He pulled out 4 feet of her lower intestine out onto the table. This is a 17-year-old girl who wound up with a permanent dual colostomy. She's going to have this colostomy for the rest of her life at 17 years old. He won the malpractice suit. He prevailed in the malpractice suit after admitting that he knew he'd perforated her uterus, did not call for any emergency care. And this young lady, because of that, wound up with a permanent dual colostomy. He went into court and won. And we see this continually across the board,
mm-hmm.
that this is the sort of thing that happens.
And as you and I have often discussed, what we don't see is any outrage from the so-called pro-woman, pro-choice movement. No statement of regret on their part. No efforts to revise and reform the court system to bring more justice to these women. No, nothing. It's
right.
Silence.
Well, I brought that up on one of our shows recently, and I said we had this so-called March for Women's Lives that you guys were there.
Counter-demonstrating.
Where was the outrage about the number of women who get butchered in these places? Where was the outrage about the number of men in this country? And this is another one of these hidden tragedies that's going on, but we get these reports almost daily here of pro-choice men who kill their pro-life girlfriends when those girlfriends won't have abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the outrage? Did you see any plaques about that when you were there?
No.
Did you see any plaques there? Anybody in that screaming crowd of people, were any of them hollering about the number of women who get raped and sexually assaulted in these abortion clinics?
Not a one.
Despite the fact that that is very well known. It's very well documented. And so was anybody there hollering about the number of abortionists in this country who have been convicted for murdering their patients?
No.
Nobody was saying anything about that.
Silence.
Right.
Silence.
And that's the almost abysmal hypocrisy of the abortion industry, in that their outrage over what's done to women in this country is very selective. It's extraordinarily selective. And they care nothing about these particular situations, and yet they're rampant. And we've proven that they're rampant. I've never had one person challenge me, Father Frank, on the documentation that's in line five, because we made absolutely certain that we didn't put anything in there unless it was absolutely documented. Because we have so many cases. The book is 319 pages long. It could have been 2,000 pages. But we had so many cases, there was no reason for us to take any risk that we would put some questionable cases in there, and they're all documented. No one in all the years since the book came out has challenged me on it, and yet the abortion industry doesn't care.
Your website?
Yes, lifedynamics.com, and we've got a new website called prolifeamerica.com, and so people can get a lot of information on there, and we have a ton of information. Of course, we link back and forth between yours, and you have a lot of our information on yours, and
right. So
we keep trading out, and we're going to continue. We try to update our website on a daily basis. We change things around so it's not just the same thing. I get real discouraged when I see these people have websites and it says last time updated 1997. You know, what does that do for us?
Well, thanks for all you do. We'll certainly talk with you again on our program.
Thank you for having me here, sir.
God bless you. Thank you, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us at Gospel of Life Ministries. I've always said that the real difference between the two sides, pro-choice and pro-life, is not what they try to make you think it is, namely that they love the woman and we love the child. The real difference between the two sides is that they think you can separate the two, and we say you can't. You cannot destroy a child without destroying that mother, and you can't love and protect that child without loving and protecting that mother. We are committed to loving them both, and we know that you are too. Let's work together, therefore, and let's pray together that we will build a culture of life that welcomes and protects both mother and child. Thank you for all you do for the pro-life movement. Be in touch with us at Gospel of Life, and stay tuned now for our action segment. Welcome to our action segment. Janet, we've got a powerful book to offer to our people based on the discussion we've had with Mark Crutcher. Tell us about it.
The book is called Line 5, and many of the things that Mark spoke about the damage done to women in these abortion mills, is when he was talking about the documentation they have, it's in this book. And I mean, this reading is not for the weak of stomach by any means, because the things you're going to read about in this book that have gone on and continue to go on in abortion mills is mind-boggling, but it's really a big awakening that I think many of our viewers will have. And it will also help them to warn, really, like this should have a flashing warning label to women. Don't go into these places. When you hear the damage that's in this book, what's been done, it's a real yellow warning signal.
Well, Mark put this book together and solicited from the help of many people. We were privileged to contribute to part of it, and many other leaders and people throughout the country who in their own communities had access to this information about how legal abortion clinics are harming, damaging, deceiving, exploiting, sexually abusing, and killing young ladies who go there thinking that they're having a safe procedure done. The book is so powerful that, you take it and you read through it, and you have material for a lifetime to begin telling other people and convincing them how horrible the abortion industry is. So this is must reading. Anyone who cares about, first of all, who cares about women's health, who cares about the way that they're treated in the abortion facilities, who wants to see an end to abortion, this is a book you need to read.
Right, and we want them to contact us. We'll absolutely send them the copy of this book. They could just make us a donation even to cover the postage, but we'll give it to them free. We want them to read this book. And then I'd also like to ask them, is why not get an extra copy and give it to your pastor?
To the pastors,
because very often they think that somehow abortion is still serving women. And you read this book, and your eyes will be open.
Well, give it to your pro-abortion friends. Because people are going to say, they're not going to say, oh, I think abortion should be legal because I'm in favor of killing babies. No, they're going to say, I think it should be legal because I'm in favor of helping women. And that's the power of this book is it shows it doesn't help women. It hurts
serving
them.
Women. And don't forget the school library. Get a copy of this book in the school library so that the students can really see what abortion, the damage it's doing.
And you can also use this book as the basis for very powerful letters to the editor. Absolutely. Just quote some of the story. I remember, you know, one of the, as an example of what's in there, and we've already talked with Mark, is an abortionist who began the procedure and during the course of the procedure found out that the baby was older than he thought and so said to the woman, oh, I need another $500 to finish this procedure. Of course, she didn't have $500 sitting in her pocket. And so he said, well, then I can't finish the procedure. And he sent her home with the baby half destroyed inside of her. And this is routine activity in these clinics.
That's right. I mean, in addition, I mean, there's cases, too, where the woman wasn't even pregnant, and they told her she was. You know, some of these girls come in thinking they're pregnant,
right,
and they don't care whether she's pregnant or not. They're going to say, oh, you think you're pregnant? Okay, we'll do an abortion. And sometimes they're doing abortions on women who aren't even pregnant.
And they get every penny that they that they need for that abortion.
Right.
In terms of this, we are also asking people to bring forward testimonies of things that happened to them, because there's a lot of women, as you know, suffering in silence out there who have experienced these things firsthand, where the abortionist abused them, lied to them, just treated them in a subhuman way. And the world needs to know.
That's right. And we want them to send the testimonies to us, because up on our website we have one of the largest collections of these testimonies.
Yes.
And that's the other thing. We invite people to get people to go up to our website and read these testimonies and then share this with other people.
It can be it's a treasure house of very convincing and powerful material. Send it out by email. Point people to the site. Read those testimonies. Share them. If you're a speaker, if you're a preacher, if you're a writer, that material is open and available to use. You don't have to ask our permission to use it. Use it to advance the cause. Well, thanks very much, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us at Gospel of Life. We are going to end abortion in America and throughout the world. We're going to do it because doing it is right. It is right to protect life. It is right to strive for justice. And we know that you are also, so many of you, involved in that movement. Let's join together and build a culture of life.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, Executive Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Father Frank Pavone, Janet Moran, and I want to personally invite you to be a strategic part of this new, exciting, and challenging work. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The objective of Gospel of Life Ministries is to reach out to Christians of all denominations and churches and bring them together in practical ways to proclaim the Gospel of Life and to build a culture of life. If you are a committed Christian, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, church leader, pro-life volunteer, if you have a burden to see believers cooperate together, we'd like to hear from you. To obtain our resources, contact us at Gospel of Life Ministries, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306. Call us at 718-980-4400 and visit us at www.gospelofLife.net.